一起结束啊，15章。
Let's read Ezekiel chapter 15.
15章是在讲以葡萄这个树被焚烧来预表耶路撒冷变成荒废没有用。
In chapter 15, the symbolic action of the burning of the vine represented how Jerusalem will become desolate.
所以这是一个预表。
This was a symbol.
好，我们现在进入16章。
Let's now read chapter 16.
16章在提到用婚姻来比喻以色列百姓好像是被约然后纵淫。Here
we see that God used marriage as an analogy to speak of Israel's unfaithfulness.
所以圣经用很多不同的比喻来描写神对以色列百姓的关系。
In the Bible, God uses many analogies to depict his relationship with his people.
那其中有一个关系是婚姻。
And one of them was that of marriage.
那16章的开始提到耶路撒冷本来是好像一个弃婴。
In the beginning of chapter 16, we read that Jerusalem originally was like an orphan.
所以第三节说，你根本你出世是在迦南地。
Verse 3, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan.
你的父亲是亚摩利人，你的母亲是赫人。
Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite.
所以我们如果查考耶路撒冷历史，这个其实耶路撒冷原来是一个默默无名的地方。
If we look at the origin of the city of Jerusalem, it actually started as a place without as a place that was not well known.
有外族在住在其中。
And the Gentiles lived in that city.
所以这本来是一个好像弃婴一样，好像没有人要的一块地。
In that sense, the city of Jerusalem used to be like an orphan, a place that no one wanted.
那后来耶路撒冷确定它的地位是大卫开始的。
It was King David who established the city of Jerusalem as the place of the temple.
所以耶路撒冷变成一个圣城。
It was then that the city became the holy city.
所以从一个弃婴到变成一个被蒙爱的一个城市。
The city changed from an orphan to a beloved city.
然后第六节开始在讲耶路撒冷就好像这个婴孩长大了。
And starting from verse 6, we read that Jerusalem grew like a child.
然后在第八节就跟神有一个结盟。
And in verse 8, we see the covenant she had with God.
说又向你起誓，与你结盟，你就归于我，这是主神说的。
Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord.
所以从一个弃婴没有人要的跟主结盟成为婚约，这是一个身份上很大的提升。
From an orphan to a bride, someone who entered into a covenant with God, that is a great elevation of status.
那这是神的恩典。
This is the grace of God.
那看13节。
Let's read verse 13.
这样你就有金银装饰，穿的是细麻衣和丝绸，并绣花衣，吃的是细面蜂蜜并油。你也极其美貌，发达王后的尊荣。4节。14. 你美貌的名声传在列邦当中，你十分美貌，是因为我加在你身上的威荣。所以耶路撒冷到最后变成。 名声传到远方里面非常丰富，这个最重要的原因是因为神加在他身上的威严威荣。
Jerusalem's fame spread and she was filled with all kinds of prosperity because the Lord added all these to
her. 所以神爱他们就好像一个新郎爱新娘一样。
God loves Jerusalem as the bride, bridegroom loves the bride.
那从15节开始再提到耶路撒冷背弃的神。
Starting from verse 15, we learn about Jerusalem's unfaithfulness.
用仇来报恩。
They repaid God's grace with evil.
那这个恩就是神给他们诸般的恩典，提升这个城，成为圣城。
God had blessed them by elevating them into a sacred city.
那仇就是耶路撒冷后来变成一个拜偶像的地方。
However, they turned that city into a place of idolatry.
我们看 二十六节。
Let's read verse 26.
你也和邻邦放纵情欲的埃及人行淫，增加你的淫乱，惹我发怒。27节。
27.
因此我伸手攻击你，减少你应用的粮食，又将你交给恨你的非利士人，众女，使他们任意待你们，你们见你们的淫行，你的羞耻。28节。
28.
你因贪色无厌，又与亚述人行淫。与他们行淫之后仍不满意。29节。
29.
并且多行淫乱，直到那贸易之地，就是加勒底人，你仍不满意。这里讲这个行淫，当然不是肉体上的行淫。
The harlotry here is not referring to physical acts.
可以指着跟这些外族人结盟。
But it's a figure of speech that refers to their alliance with these foreign nations.
那原来神就是好像他们的夫，是大有权能的。那他既然跟神这么亲密，应该是以神为依靠。那神也真的能够做他们的依靠。
God was their husband. He is the Almighty God. They should have relied on God.
但是他们跟外族结淫啊，结盟。
However, they chose to ally themselves with these foreign countries.
那我们看啊，神会感觉会是怎样
？How would God feel?
所以圣经描写说，这好像他们在行淫一样。
That's why the Bible compares that to harlotry.
所以十六章第一节到十四节提到耶路撒冷是一个多受恩宠的城市。
Therefore, chapter 16 can be divided as such. Verses 1 to 14 is about how the city was beloved.
那从十五节到三十四节是讲他们因为懦弱而行淫。
And verses 15 to 34 is about their fall.Their corruption and their harlotry.
我们先来看三十节。
Let's read verse 30.
主如此说：你行这些事，都不知羞耻的妓女所行的，可见你的心是何等的懦弱。
How degenerate is your heart, says the Lord God, seeing you do all these things, the deeds of a brazen harlot.
所以在神看起来，这是因为他们的软弱。
To God.The cause of their downfall was their degenerate heart.
所以当然神就对他们不满意啊。
God was very displeased with them.
那三十三节。
Verse 33.
凡妓女得人赠送，你反倒赠送你所爱的人，贿赂他们从四方来与你行淫。
Men make payment to all harlots, but you made your payments to all your lovers and hire them to come to you from all around for your harlotry.
所以这个在描写耶路撒冷在信仰上对神的背道是违背常理的。
Their unfaithfulness towards God was actually defied common sense.
是很难被了解的。
It's hard to understand.
当然是更难被神接受的。
And of course, it was all the more unacceptable to God.
所以从三十五节到六十三节讲提到他这些事情惹神愤怒。
Verses 35 to 63 speak of God's wrath.
那后来还有用在四十四节开始有。讲他的罪等于其姐妹撒玛利亚多于其妹索多玛。
The verses 44 and on speak of the sins of the two sisters Samaria and Sodom.
所以在神面前耶路撒冷的罪是相当的深重。
In the eyes of God, the sins of Judah or Jerusalem was very severe.
好，我们现在看五十八节。
Let's read verse 58.
神说你贪淫和可憎的事已经担当了。59节。
59.
主神如此说你这轻看誓言背弃盟约的我必照你所行的待你。60节。
60.
然后我要追念你在幼年时与你所立的约。也要与你立定永约。我们看62节。
62.
我要坚定与你所立的约你就知道我是神。63节。
63.
好使你在我赦免你一切所行的时候心里追念自觉惭愧又因你的羞辱就不再开口。那从这一段圣经我们可以看出来这些选民对神的盟约跟神对这个盟约态度不一样。
It's evident from this passage that the Israelites' attitude towards the covenant was very different from God's attitude towards the covenant.
那我们就要想为什么。
And we must ask why.
那对这个耶路撒冷跟住在里面的人，他们与神在属灵上所定这个盟约是已经被废弃了。
Jerusalem and her inhabitants have forsaken God's covenant with them.
他们也可以拜偶像，也可以跟外族做盟结盟。
They chose to commit idolatry and ally themselves with the foreign countries.
但是神虽然很生气，后来就惩罚他们。
In His great wrath, God punished them.
但是神惩罚是要叫他们回头。
But God did so in order to turn them back.
那回头之后, 神要坚定与他们所立的永约。
And after they turn back, God will reestablish His everlasting covenant with them.
所以这里可以看出来神的爱。
From this, we can see the love of God.
神的爱啊, 这真的是, 长阔高深。
God's love is indeed very long, high, wide, and deep.
今天我们在灵里面与神所立的这个约就是这样。
And so is the covenant we have with God today.
我们虽然在生活当中啊, 远离了神。
Even though we have strayed from God in our lives.
甚至在神看起来好像是对他不忠实。
And in God's eyes, we have acted unfaithfully.
但是神一直在感动提醒我们让我们回头。
But God continues to move us and call us to return to Him.
但是神没有遗弃我们。
But He hasn't forsaken us.
我们回头了，神要坚定跟我们所立的约。
And when we do return to Him, He reaffirms His covenant with us.
所以神是信实的神。
Therefore, our God is a faithful God.
这是值得我们依靠的神。
He is worthy of our trust.
所以从圣经阅读，我们就越发现人的不忠实跟神的信实。
The more we study the Bible, the more we will see how unfaithful people are and how faithful God is.
人是异变的，神是不变的。
People are ever changing, but God never changes.
所以人应该把盼望放在神的身上。
So human beings ought to put their trust in God.
那十七章开始。
Chapter 17.
十七章开始就提到, 鹰跟葡萄树。
This chapter describes the eagles and the vine.
这也用这个来, 预表, 以色列百姓的悖逆。
This is a symbol or a prefiguration of the rebellion of Israel.
因为这个也是一种约, 但是这个不是婚约了。
We also read of a covenant here, although it's not a marital covenant.
这是国跟国之间立的约。
It's a covenant or treaty between two nations.
我们看这个故事很长，我们就仔细看这个十二节。
This is a long analogy, but let's just read verse 12.
你对那悖逆之家说，你们不知道这些事是什么意思吗？我告诉你们，巴比伦王曾到耶路撒冷，将其中的君王和首领带到巴比伦自己那里去。十三节。13. 从以色列的宗室中取一人与他立约，使他发誓，并将国中有势力的人掳去。14节。14. 使国低微不能自强，唯因守盟约得以存立。就是在他们以色列国快亡国之前。
Prior to the complete destruction of Judah.
神从他们中间取一个人。God
took one person out of them.
那后来立他们为王。And
made that person king.
那其实那个时候这个国度已经相当衰微。But
by that time, the kingdom had become very weak.
所以能够继续持续下去，就是因为靠着巴比伦王的势力。And
it was only to sustain itself by the power of Babylon.
但是后来我们看十五节。Verse 15。他却背叛了巴比伦王，打发使者去埃及，与要与他们结盟。But
he rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors to Egypt.
我们可以看列王记下的24章。We
can cross-reference Second Kings,
24章,
chapter 24, chapter 24, verse 20,
17节,
verse 17, rather.
这里说巴比伦王立约雅金的叔叔马探雅代替他做王，给他改名叫做西底家。那25章第一节。
Chapter 25, verse 1.
西底家背叛巴比伦王。所以这个，我们看刚刚所读的这段圣经，其实就指的西底家王。So
from the cross reference, we can see that the person that Ezekiel referred to was King Zedekiah.
他会做王是巴比伦王立他的。He
became king by the power of Babylon.
但是后来这个西底家背叛巴比伦王，要跟埃及结盟。
Zedekiah tried to rebel against Babylon by seeking the help of Egypt.
那也因为这个样子啊，所以后来巴比伦再次攻打他。
And because of his rebellion, Babylon came down again to attack them.
我们看24节。
Let's read verse 20.
在以西结书17章20节。
Ezekiel 17 verse 20.
我必将我的网撒在他身上，他必在我的网中缠住，我必带他到巴比伦。 并要在那里因他干犯我的罪刑罚他，21节。凡他一切的军队逃跑的必倒在刀下时，所剩下也分散四方，他们就知道我是神。所以到最后就被巴比伦攻占灭亡。So
eventually the whole kingdom was taken by the Babylonians.
所以他是背弃盟约，因此叫被掳受罚。Because
he forsook his covenant with Babylon, he was punished.
所以他不但对神，他对这个巴比伦也是这样。
Not only did he break a covenant with God, he also broke a covenant with Babylon.
然后到22节开始，当然这就是有一点预表的味道，在讲弥赛亚国度的这个应许。
And verses 22 and on have a prefiguration behind it concerning the kingdom of the Messiah.
那在我们现在可以看到二十章，哎。
Let's skip to chapter 20.
20章在提到以色列百姓的心非常的刚硬。
Chapter 20 describes the hard-heartedness of Israel.
那这是历史性不断的一种继续，不只是短时间的。
And this callousness was repeated time after time through history.
从第一节到第九节。
Verses 1 through 9
讲以色列百姓在埃及违抗神。
This is about the Israel's rebellion against God in Egypt.
我们可以看第七节。
Let's read verse 7.
我对他们说，你们个人要抛弃眼前所喜爱那可憎之物，不可因为埃及的偶像玷污自己。我是神，他们却悖逆我，不肯听从。
8.
不抛弃他们眼前所喜爱那可憎之物，不离弃埃及的偶像，我就说我要将愤怒倾倒到他们身上。然后看第九节。9。我却为我名的缘故没有这样行，免得我的名在所住的眼前被亵渎。所以在埃及啊，神就提醒他们不可以拜埃及的偶像。While
they were still in Egypt, God had already told them not to worship the idols in Egypt.
但是他们活在埃及，这对他们来讲，这是
But they were living in Egypt and surrounded by the trends of idolatry. So they continued in their idolatry. And that provoked God's wrath. Yet God did not destroy them. And God did not do that because of his name's sake. God did not want his name to be profaned.
那这句话重复很多次在20章里面。
This statement is repeated many times in this chapter.
就是为着神的名，神没有罚他们。
God spared them of judgment for his name's sake.
那从第十节到26节。
Verse 10 to 26.
他们出埃及以后到了旷野。
After they left Egypt, they went into the wilderness.
埃及是拜偶像的地方。
Egypt was a land of idolatry.
那到旷野当然就没有什么可以拜啊。
The wilderness, on the other hand, of course, did not have any idols.
所以在旷野应该是他们跟神建立新的关系的一个机会。
So that should have been a new beginning for them to establish a relationship with God.
因为周围没有什么风俗啊。
Because they were not surrounded by any other cultures.
但是在旷野也一样，他们心硬，违背神。
Nevertheless, they were still callous in their hearts in the wilderness, and they rebelled against God.
13节。
Let's read verse 13.
以色列家却在旷野悖逆我，不顺从我的律例，厌弃我的典章，也大大干犯我的安息日。我就在旷野将我的愤怒倾在他们身上，灭绝他们。这段圣经在讲他们在旷野也是违抗神。The
people of Israel sinned against God in the wilderness.
虽然知道诫命也不守。
Despite their knowledge of the commandments, they did not obey God.
那十四节, 神为他的名也没有这样行。
And in verse 14, God did not destroy them for his name's sake.
为着 免他的名在列国中被亵渎。
God did not want his name to be profaned before the Gentiles.
所以我们看到这个神做事有一个很重要的原因，就是为着他的名。
There's an important principle behind God's actions, and that is for his name's sake.
为着他名的荣耀。
For the glory of his name.
但是我们人就不懂得为着神的名的荣耀来做事。
However, we as human beings often fail to do things for the sake of God's glory.
但是神为着他的名荣耀，他没有照着我们应该受的报应来报应我们。
However, for his name's sake, God has not repaid us according to the sins we have committed.
那如果我们能够为着神的名来做事，我们当然会从神得到更大的福气。
If we can do all things for the sake of God's name, God will bless us even more.
我们看二十二节。
Let's read verse 22.
虽然如此，我却为我的名的缘故，没有缩手，没有先这样行，免得我的名在领他们出埃及的列国被亵渎。二十三节。
23.
并且我在旷野向他们起誓，必将他们分散在列国，散在四邦。好，那现在进入迦南地了。从二十七节开始就进入迦南地。
Starting from verse 27, the Israelites entered Canaan.
二十七节到三十二节。
Verses 27 to 32.
在出埃及还有行旷野，他们看到很多神很伟大的作为，看到神的荣耀。
Both in the Exodus and the wilderness, the Israelites have witnessed God's great mighty deeds.
甚至在拜偶像的那一次，差不多神要把他们灭掉了。
After they had offered, they had worshipped an idol, God almost destroyed them.
但是进到迦南以后。
But after they entered Canaan,
我们看他们的态度没有变。
We can see that their attitude did not change.
好，到二十八节。
Verse 28.
因我领他们到启示应许给他们的地，他们看见各高山、各茂密林，就在那里献祭、奉上惹我发怒的供物，也在那里焚烧馨香的祭，并烧奠祭。这个惹神愤怒，当然这是像偶像在供奉在偶像。
They provoke God's anger by offering sacrifices to idols.
好，看三十二节。
Verse 32.
你们说我们要像外邦人和列国的宗族一样去侍奉木头与石头，你们所起的这个心意万不能成就。所以在迦南地神所应许的迦南地，他们还是在拜偶像。
Even in the promised land of Canaan, the Israelites continue to worship idols.
因此我们可以看到以色列百姓对神的违抗不是一两年的事情。
As we can see from these recordings, the Israelites' rebellion against God was not just something that happened in a year or two.
如果时间来算是上百年了。
If just in terms of the number of years, it exceeded over 100 years.
当然旷野就40年了。
Just the wilderness journey itself lasted 40 years.
所以我们可以看到神对他们的忍耐，给他们的宽容是何等的长，何等的大。
We can see the forbearance and the long suffering God had towards them.
因此神最后的刑罚来到不是没有原因的。
So we have to conclude that it was not without cause that God brought calamity upon them.
但是三十三节到四十九节。
Verses 33 to 49.
在应许神要再次怜悯他们。
God promised that he will have mercy on them.
就是当他们被惩罚之后，神要再带他们回来。
After the Israelites have been punished, God will restore them.
我看三十三节。
Verse 33.
主说：“我指着永生起誓，我总要做王，用大能的手和伸出来的膀臂。”并清出来的愤怒治理你们。这里提到说神要我们再看三十四节。
Verse 34.
我必用大能的手和伸出来膀臂，并清出来愤怒，将你们从万民中领出来，从分散的国内聚集你们。这里说神到最后还要把他们领出来，要把他们聚集。
In the end, God will still bring them out of all the peoples and gather them together.
神的怜悯对他们没有改变。
God's mercy towards them had not changed.
这是二十章在提到以色列百姓历代以来对神的态度。
So chapter 20 records the Israelites' attitude towards God over the long number of years.
那在四十四节重复这句话。
And verse 44 is a repetition.
主说：“以色列家， 我为我的名缘故， 不照着你们的恶行和你们的坏事待你们， 你们就知道我是神。
About God not dealing with them according to their corrupt doings for his name's sake.
所以他们就知道神是怜悯的神。
So that they would know that he is the merciful God.
那23章，
Chapter
23. 23章在 提到以色列百姓背弃神。
This chapter is a depiction of Israel's rebellion against God.
我们看以西结书的23章。
Let's read Ezekiel chapter 23.
这个是以两个妇女的比喻撒玛利亚耶路撒冷的罪。
Using the analogy of two sisters, the Bible describes Jerusalem's and Samaria's sin.
那这个23章也是相当的长。
This is a long chapter.
我们看几节就可以。
Just pick out a few verses.
请看35节。
Let's read verse 35.
主如此说，因你忘记我，将我丢弃在背后， 所以你要担当你淫行和淫乱的报应。
Because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, therefore you shall bear the penalty of your lewdness and your harlotry.
所以他把这两个城比喻是一个妇人。
God compared these two cities to the two women.
他们对神的不忠代表他们所犯的罪。
Their unfaithfulness was symbolic of their sins against God.
对，35节讲他们应该所受的报应。
Therefore, 35 writes about the penalty that they deserve.
好，我们看30节。
Let's read verse 30.
人必向你行这些事， 因为你随从外邦人行邪淫， 被他们的偶像玷污。 31节。
31.
你走你姐姐所走的路， 所以 我必将她的杯交在你的手中。 32节。
32.
主如此说， 你必喝你姐姐所喝的杯， 那杯又深又广， 甚多， 使你被人讥笑讽刺。 33节。 你必酩酊大醉，满有愁苦。这里讲这两个姐妹要喝杯。
The two sisters will drink from a cup.
那到底这个杯是什么？
What is that cup?
如果我们仔细前后看，这个就是神愤怒的杯。
If we look at the context, it is the cup of God's wrath.
好像酒一样， 你酒喝多了就醉了。
It is like being drunk with wine.
那他们喝下神这个愤怒的这个杯， 喝多了， 就好像大醉一样。
After they drink God's cup of wrath, they will be drunk.
好像被掳被杀， 就在列国当中蛮有羞耻。
They'll be captured and they will be killed among the nations.
所以 23章的第一节到35节 讲对神的不忠。
Chapter 23 verses 1 through 35 therefore speak of the people's unfaithfulness towards God.
那从36节到49节 就讲到他们所应该受的报应。
And verses 36 to 49 are the penalty that they deserved.
我们看49节。
Let's read verse 49.
人必照着你们的淫行报应你们， 你们要担当拜偶像的罪， 就知道我是神。 所以那个淫行就是拜偶像。
Their lewdness was a figure of speech for their idolatrous sins.
所以他们要承担自己的罪。
They must receive the due payment.
这是耶路撒冷， 我们从13章一直念来， 他们在神面前看起来所犯的罪。
So starting from chapter 13, we have been looking at all the sins that the Israelites have committed.
那我们读了这么多，看起来好像以色列民已经陷在一片的黑暗里面了，因为罪这么深。After
reading all these chapters, it seems as if the Israelites were immersed in complete darkness because of their great sin.
这是人的心的刚硬。
And also because of their callousness.
那罪的结果是什么？
What is the consequence of sin?
我们现在看18章。
Let's read chapter 18.
以西结书的18章。
Ezekiel 18.
这个18章用三代来描写罪的结果。
Chapter 18 uses the analogy of three generations to describe the consequence of sin.
十八章的第十节开始。
Chapter 18, verse 10.
啊，他提到如果父亲是义人，孩子犯罪，哦，那只罚孩子，不去罚父亲。
If a father is righteous, yet his son is a sinner, the son will be punished, but the father will not be.
哦，因为个人要对个人的行为负责。
Each person will be accountable for his own sins.
啊、哦。那这跟当时以色列民的观念有一点不太一样。
This is rather contrary to the Israelites' common understanding in those days.
好、哦，我们看十八章第一节。
Let's read chapter 18, verse 1.
神的话又临到我说，第二节。
Two.
你在以色列里怎么用这个俗语说，父亲吃的酸葡萄，儿子的牙酸倒了呢？哦、这个比喻是什么意思？
What does this proverb mean?
啊，父亲吃酸葡萄。
The fathers have eaten sour grapes.
那个后果影响到孩子。
The children's teeth are affected.
是吧？孩子牙酸倒了。
Their teeth are set on edge.
啊，如果这个酸葡萄是指的罪，父亲犯罪，那孩子会受到犯罪的惩罚。
Sour grapes means sin. So the proverb basically saying that the sins of the fathers. The children will have to bear the consequence of the sins of their fathers.
好，那现在啊，神在这地方告诉他们，啊，每一个人要对自己的行为负责。
But God told them here that each person would have to be accountable for his own sins.
啊，我们看第五节开始。
Let's read verse 5.
啊，第五节说，人若是公义、写正直与合理的事情，啊。这接下去他就提到很多点了。
And the following verses are about many of his righteous deeds.
就是没有吃祭偶像的东西。
He does not eat the food offered to idols.
没有拜偶像。
He does not worship idols.
没有淫乱。
He does not commit immorality.
然后财务上没有亏负人。
And he has not cheated anyone.
没有抢夺人的物。
He has not robbed anyone.
将食物给饥饿的人
，He feeds the hungry，
就是这也是人的义啊，这是行善。
All these are good and righteous acts。
将衣服给赤身的人穿
，He covers the naked with clothing。
那未曾向你借钱的弟兄取利，也未曾向借粮的弟兄多要，所以就说尽量去帮助人的需要。
He never exacts usury or take any increase. He helps the needy。
而且不做罪孽。
And he refrains from sin.
而且非常的公义。
And he is just.
第九节。
Nine.
遵行神的典章。
He walks in God's statutes.
按诚实行事。
And walks justly.
这人公义必定存活。
He shall surely live.
所以这段圣经在提到神认为公义的事情。
This passage incidentally describes the things that are right in God's eyes.
讲得很清楚。
It's a very clear recording.
所以如果父亲做了这个事情，但是孩子犯罪，这孩子受罚。
If this righteous father has a son who is a sinner, this son will be punished.
那从十四节开始，十八章的十四节。
Chapter 18, verse 14.
这就提到如果孩子是行义的，是行善的。
Now, if the son, if the next son or the son of the sinful father is a righteous man.
因为前面一个例子就是父亲是义人，孩子作恶，所以孩子被罚。
In the first scenario, we have a righteous father and a sinful son, and the sinful son was punished.
那到十四节他的孙子这一辈。
And verse 14 is the grandson.
说他若生一个儿子，见父亲所犯的罪，便惧怕，就不照样去行，然后说看到父亲做犯罪的结果就不去行。
This grandson saw how sinful his father was and he stayed away from that.
然后三节开始十五节开始就想他开始就行义。
And as recorded in verse 15 and following verses, he practiced righteousness.
那十七节最后就是不因父亲的罪孽死亡，一定要存活。
The conclusion of verse 17 is, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father, he shall surely live.
所以在这个地方神很清楚讲每一个人要对自己的行为负责。
So here God explains very clearly that each person is accountable for his actions.
我看20节。
Verse 20.
唯有犯罪的他必死亡，儿子不担当父亲的罪。父亲也不担当儿子的罪。义人的义果必归自己，恶人的恶报也必归自己。每一个人要对自己行为来受罚或受报。
Each person will be rewarded or punished according to his actions.
而且从21节开始,
starting from verse 21,
就提到善恶的先后,
we read of the priority of sin and good and evil.
那如果一个人先犯罪, 后来行善,
in other words, if a person used to practice wickedness, but later practice righteousness.
就是离开恶道, 悔改行善,
in other words, he turned away from his sin and practiced good.
那他可以存活,
then he will live.
但是24节,
verse 24.
那如果一个人行了很多善事,
but if a person used to be righteous,
但是到最后他去犯罪,
yet in the end, he commits sin.
他一切先前一切的义都不被纪念,
all his former righteousness would not be remembered.
要担因为所作犯的罪自己来灭亡,
but he will perish because of his sins.
所以这个是神在告诉他们的一个对善恶的一种报应。
So God is teaching them about the recompense for good and evil.
我们现在看25节。
Let's read verse 25.
25节到29节在讲主道是至公的。 在25节，你们还说主的道不公平，以色列家，你们当听我的道岂不公平呢？你们的道岂不是不公平吗？所以这个有人在议论说神的道不公平。Some
people criticize God that his way was not fair.
那这个神就告诉他们神的道没有不公平。
So God told them that his way was fair.
神的道是绝对公平的。
God's way is absolutely fair.
我们看28节。
Verse 28.
因为他思量回头离开恶道所犯一切罪恶必定存活不至死亡。 29节。
29.
以色列家还说主道不公平，以色列家，我的道岂不公平呢？你们的道岂不是不公平呢？所以真的不公平的是人的道，不是神的道。
It's really the people's ways which were unfair, not God's ways.
因为神的道是你如果恶人离开恶道回头，你就可以活。
According to God's ways, a sinner who turns from his sin will live.
那义人离开恶道，义道去行恶，他就会死。
But the righteous man that turns from his righteousness to commit sin will die.
这个就是神的道。
This is God's way.
那这个道讲完之后，接下去就对以色列百姓一个劝勉。
After expounding his ways, the Lord gave the Israelites an exhortation.
因为我们过去几章里面提到这么多的罪,
in the past chapters, we have looked at so many kinds of sins.
那现在讲明神对罪的原则,
and now God declares his ways about sin.
最后是神呼吁他们要拿出行动来,
and finally, God calls them to take action.
30节,
verse 30.
所以主说，以色列家，我必照着你们个人所行的审判，你们当回头离开所犯一切的罪过，这样罪孽不再必不是你们灭亡，你要回头悔改。
God told them to repent and turn from their transgressions.
我看31节。
Verse 31.
你们要将所犯的一切罪过进行抛弃，制作一个新心和心灵，以色列家。 你们何必死亡呢？所以神不希望人死的。
It is not God's desire for anyone to perish.
所以神说你们要离开，赶快离开，赶快变化。
So God urged them to turn quickly and be changed.
何必死亡呢？ 神不要看到人死亡。
God said, why should you die?
32节。
32.
神说，我不喜悦那死人之死，所以你们要回头而存活。
I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live.
所以我们这样读到这里，我们可以看到神的心。
This tells us God's heart.
好像一个父亲一样。
He is like a father.
一直告诉他的孩子，什么是对，什么是错，一直告诉他的孩子要回头。
He repeatedly teaches the right thing to his son, to his children.
但是他看到孩子不回头，这个父亲的心是何等的伤痛。
But when the father sees that the child is stubborn and refuses to return, how his heart will be wrenched.
因为他不愿意看到死人的死。
Because God has no desire to see the death of the one who dies.
如果死人真的死了，这个是因为他们在神宽容的时期拒绝悔改。
And when someone eventually dies, it is because he refuses to repent during the period of God's mercy.
神是有给他们机会悔改。
God gave them opportunities to return.
但是他们自己心硬，不愿悔改。
But out of the hardness of their hearts, they refused.
所以我们看第四点哈，这个问题的思考。
Let's look at the discussion question four.
主不悦死人的死，那为何在旧约神击杀了很多人？
If God did not take pleasure in the death of anyone, why did he slay so many people in the Old Testament?
这个就是神的公义跟慈爱。
This question is really about God's justice and mercy.
但是神击杀很多人，还是在之前给他们有宽容的时间。
Yes, God did command many people to be killed, but God had given them plenty of time prior to that.
好，那十九章。
To repent. Verse 19.
十九章。
Excuse me, chapter 19.
那个十九章就是在提到被掳跟被迁毁。以色列民被掳，圣殿被迁毁的预告。
Chapter 19 is a prophecy concerning the destruction of the holy city and the temple.
那他用两个来比喻。
And the chapter uses two analogies.
一个就是狮子陷到陷阱里面。
And the first analogy is about a lion that falls into a pit.
那这个狮子本来是很有力量、很威武、很荣耀的。
This lion was very strong and powerful and glorious.
那陷到陷阱里面就被关住了。
But it was trapped in this pit.
那这个比喻就是在讲犹大王。
This analogy is concerning the king of Judah.
本来是很荣耀的。
He used to be glorious.
那后来就被捉拿。
But he was taken alive.
我看第九节。
Verse 9.
他们用钩子勾他，将他放在笼中，带到巴比伦王那里。
They put him in a cage with chains and brought him to the king of Babylon.
使他的声音在以色列地上不再听见。
That his voice should no longer be heard on the mountains of Israel.
这个就是预告他们将会被掳。
This was a prediction of their captivity.
所以有个很实际的例子来告诉他们。
God used a very practical analogy to predict this event.
好，那第十节到十四节
，verses 10 to 14，
就用葡萄树来比喻。
God used the analogy of the vine.
那个十节说，本来葡萄树极其繁盛，栽在水旁，多结果子。
This vine used to be very fruitful, planted by the waters.
但是后来这个葡萄树就被拔起来。
But later this vine was plucked up.
被火烧了。
And burned in the fire.
那这个代表将来耶路撒冷好像这个葡萄树会被拔起来。
This prefigured how the city of Jerusalem will be uprooted.
也就是将来会被毁掉了。
It will be destroyed.
我们再看二十一章。
Chapter 21.
所以从十三章到二十四章，我们所看到的都是比较负面的，在描述很详细的描述以色列百姓犯的罪。
Generally speaking, 13 to 24 are usually about the sins of the people.
我们看二十一章。
Let's now read chapter 21.
二十一章是在提到神的愤怒。
This is about God's wrath.
我们刚刚提到这么多罪，也提到神的原则。
We have been looking at all the sins they committed as well as God's ways.
也提到神给他们机会要回头而存活。
And also the opportunity God gave them to repent and live.
如果这个都错过了，就进到二十一章了。
But because they had forsaken all these opportunities, we come to chapter 21.
就神的愤怒。
We read of God's wrath.
所以第一节到十七节。
Verses 1 to 17.
这提到神把这个刀就拔出来要击杀以色列地。
Here we read that God draws his sword to destroy the land of Judah.
我们看第三节。
Verse 3.
对以色列说，主如此说，我与你们为敌，并且要拔刀出鞘，将你们中间从一人二人一并剪除。 拔神的拔刀出鞘，所以神的患难来，好像这个刀是砍下来。
God's calamity will come upon them like the swinging of a sword.
啊，在那个时候，人就知道有神，而且神的愤怒已经来到。
And by then they will know that God was really among them, and God's anger had come upon them.
第七节说，灾祸来到，人的心都要消化，啊，手都要发抖。
Verse 7, when calamity strikes, every heart will melt and all hands will be feeble.
精神衰败, 气弱如水,
every spirit will faint and all knees will be weak as water.
所以人看到已经太晚了。
But by the time they witness God's punishment, it will be too late.
因为已经错过了神的宽容期。
Because they had given up, they have forsaken God's forbearance.
所以这个一直到十四节，我们看十四节哈。
Verse 14.
说人子啊，你要拍掌预言，我神要使这个刀，就是致死伤的刀，一连三次加倍刺入进入他们的屋内。所以这个神到最后这个灾是相当的，相当的厉害。
God's calamity, God's punishment on them will be very severe.
那个刀是什么
？What is that sword?
是八节到三十二节。
Let's read verses 18 to 32. Was an instrument used by God.
要来惩罚以色列百姓不悔改的罪。
Punish the Israelites for their sins.
这是从十八节到三十二节。
This is the main message of 18 to 32.
所以我们看到这么多，我们知道。神不是没有怜悯的神。
From all of these studies, we can see that God is definitely not without mercy.
是人屡次犯罪不愿意悔改。
But rather, it is human beings who repeatedly refuse to repent of their sins.
拒绝神的宽容。
They turn down God's offer of mercy.
到最后是神的愤怒降下来。
That's why eventually God's wrath was poured out.
那这个我们读这个过去的历史，就是作为我们现在的见解。
The whole point of studying this history is so that it can become our warning today.
所以启示录里面讲主耶稣再来那一天呢，人要哀哭捶胸顿足。
According to Revelation, when Jesus Christ comes in His glory, everyone will beat their chest and mourn.
神发怒的脸，没有一个人敢看。
Because who can stand on the day of God's wrath?
连将军户户肚地有洞也要钻下去。
Even the generals and the wealthy people will want to hide in caves.
但是现在就是神宽容的时期。
But now is the period of God's mercy.
希望人能够改变，回归向他行义。
God wants us to return to Him and practice what is right.
所以我们过去读了这么多这个黑暗的以色列民历史，就是在描写我们现在。
So all of the depictions of the sinfulness of Israel are really a depiction of the sins we see today.
所以彼得前书说，神到现在还没有来，不是单言，是宽容。
So as Peter records in the Bible, the fact that God has not yet come, shows God's forbearance.
希望有更多人能够回头归向他。
It is God's desire that we return to Him. More people can return to Him.
但是这个宽容期过去了。
But after this grace period is over,
那个启示录那个灾来那是非常可怕的。
The calamities recorded in Revelation will come, and those calamities are very dreadful.
比当时耶路撒冷被毁掉，比当时圣殿被焚烧，比当时被掳更可怕。
These calamities will be even more severe and dreadful than the burning of the holy city and the destruction of the kingdom of Israel at that time.
但是现在是宽容期。
However, we are in the grace period now.
希望我们每个人，我们的家人，我们大家都能够回头归向他。
Hopefully, all of us as individuals and all of our family members can turn back to God.
神不愿意看到死人的死。
God does not wish to see the death of the one who dies.
神愿意罪人回头得生。
Rather, He wishes that the sinner will repent and live.
一起默祷。
Let's pray in silence.